Today we are celebrating the Feast of St. Matthias. And as you know, St. Matthias was not one of the original 12 disciples. But after Judas's betrayal and death, and before the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost, Peter gathered the disciples to choose someone to take Judas's place among the 12. There were two candidates. One was Joseph Barsabbas, and the other one, of course, was Matthias, and the choice fell on Matthias. Thus, he was numbered among the apostles. Other than this single incident in the book of Acts, nothing else is known really about Matthias. Some early writers say that he preached the gospel in Palestine, and others maintain that he evangelized Cappadocia, or in today's world, Turkey, or in part of Ethiopia. He is revered as a martyr, but neither the date nor the manner of his martyrdom is known with certainty. One thing that we know is that Matthias, though his name was not mentioned until in the book of Acts, was with the disciples from the beginning. That was one of the requirements for them to have chosen Matthias. In some churches, the Feast of St. Matthias is celebrated sometime in May. Why? Because it's near Ascension and precedes Pentecost. As I said a while ago, we don't know so much about Matthias. But one thing that is interesting that I would like to bring to the fore and to our attention today is how Matthias was chosen. And pray that you and I can learn from this. As you know, many people always ask, how will I know God's will for my life? And I hope that this reflection will shed some light. We all know that St. Luke is the author of the gospel named after him, and also the book of Acts. There's something interesting in how Luke wrote the gospel, because it begins and ends with a mention of casting lots. When Zechariah, was the father of John the Baptist, was chosen to minister at the temple, he was chosen by casting lots. And when we go towards the end of the gospel, St. Luke also mentions how the garments of the Lord were divided among the soldiers by casting lots. Then the choosing of Matthias, as we read in the book of Acts, was done by casting lots. Casting of lots was a means of determining the will of God in ancient times, prior to the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Let me emphasize those words, prior to the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Such use reflects the belief that nothing occurs by chance. If we would look at the Old Testament, there was something that was called the Urim and the Thummim, which the high priest wore on his chest. Sacred lots, they called, used by the Old Testament priests for the purpose of, again, determining God's will. Many of us today even, you know, we want to determine what God wants for us. What is God's will for us? And many people always ask me, how do you determine God's will for your life? Well, we also have these words from the book of Acts. You, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Keep that in your mind. This is reminiscent of the passages from the book of Psalms. O Lord, thou hast proved me and known me. From Psalm 139. Our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance, from Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8. The unique Christian adjective, knower of hearts, identifies one of the distinctive attributes of the God whom we serve. God knows the hearts of all. Which means it is futile or useless to really play hide and seek with God, because He knows where you are. He even knows the number of your hair. He even knows our thoughts. He knows what is hidden in the four corners of our hearts, so to speak. God could read the hearts of both men, and for reasons best known to himself, that God is the only one who knows. There are things in our lives that escapes us, but we have to realize that if God knows everything, that those things don't escape him. They don't escape him. So he preferred Matthias. Now let's look at this very carefully. God's preference of Matthias, nonetheless, implies no disapproval of the other man, Joseph Barsabbas. Joseph Barsabbas may not have been chosen, but it does not imply, however, criticism nor rejection. All through the Holy Scripture, indeed, God continually chooses some individuals over others with a view to the divine purposes of history. I am reminded of how the prophet Samuel, for instance, in the Old Testament, chose David to be the king. And in this particular story, it said that God looks not at the outside appearance, but at the heart. God's choice of one does not necessarily mean condemnation nor repudiation of the other. In Zacharias' case, it is merely that the all-knowing God has some rather specific intention in mind, a purpose involving Zacharias' meeting that day with the archangel. So with Matthias, the Lord had some specific plans for him. And while Matthias perhaps spent the rest of his life discovering what these plans were, he was keenly aware that God was reading his heart. Take note of those words. I'm sure that Matthias was thinking, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" And the rest of his life was to ask those questions. God must have a purpose. Why does God choose one over the other? And as I said, as what we have reflected, it's because of God knowing all of us and knowing his plans for us. It doesn't mean that when one is chosen like Matthias, that it was a rejection for the other. We should not look at it that way. But it's part of the plan that God has for us and his doing in history called God's providence. Again, let me say in ending, and while Matthias perhaps spent the rest of his life discovering what these plans were, he was keenly aware that God was reading his heart. Matthias knew exactly these words, that God knows what is in the heart of man. Going to the reading today from the Gospel of St. John, what did Jesus say? "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We are all chosen by God, not because of human goodness, but because God is good.